A man spoke in front of the Burgomaster's house in Witte, asking for volunteers to help in the camps. I went in the first bus to leave Holland. The volunteers occupied only the front of the bus. The rest of the bus was filled with food, clothing and medicine, to be divided equally among the largest refugee camps located in West Germany and Austria. Nothing I had heard prepared me for what we found. 10 families in a room was commonplace, some of them trying to preserve a vanished way of privacy by hanging up their blankets for walls during the daytime. We plunged into this sea of need like swimmers on the edge of the ocean, passing out clothing and medicine, writing letters, trying to locate separated families, making visa applications. And of course, whenever I could, I held prayer services. And it was here that I made an astonishing discovery. Most of these people knew literally nothing about the Bible. Those who had grown up under the old regimes were largely illiterate. The younger ones, who had been raised under communism, were better educated, but of course not in the Bible. And so I began, working mostly through interpreters, holding a few small classes in the most basic kind of Bible education. I knew from experience how powerful this knowledge can be, but I was scarcely prepared for its effect on lives in which it was totally new. People who had been sunk in despair became pillars of strength for a whole barracks. I saw bitterness change to hope, shame to pride. I remember one old couple, escapees from Yugoslavia. The wife was smelly and fat and had chin hairs an inch long. She at least tried to keep the area around their beds picked up and tidy. But her husband, unsettled by the move from his ancestral farm, just sat on the edge of his cot, rocking endlessly back and forth, day after day. They began attending the Bible class I taught in their barracks. At first they appeared thunderstruck at what they heard. The old man wept as he listened, letting tears fall unchecked into his lap. By about the fourth class, I noticed that the woman's chin hairs were gone, and the husband had begun to shave. Tiny details, of course, except for what they said about two people awakening to a sense of themselves as beloved children of God. "If only," said the old man after the class one day, and then he stopped. "If only what?" the interpreter prodded. "If only I had known all of this years ago, back home, back in Yugoslavia." That too was becoming my dream. The clothing and other supplies we had brought to the camps had long since run out, and we returned to Holland to try to collect more. While I was home, I went once more to the Yugoslavian consulate to apply, as I had before, for a visa. Once again there were forms in triplicate to fill out, photographs, which I now ordered by the score, to affix, the unpromising, "This will take some time to process,"